Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
It is 8:15 now, Tuesday morning, April 7th, in case you're losing track of it in the coronavirus fog that we all find ourselves in these days. It is going to be hot today with highs of 85, 30% chance for showers, and the humidity is definitely back. We know during hurricane season here, as it relates to public health and public health officials, it's a tough call to decide whether or not to evacuate a nursing home because they know a certain percentage of patients are not going to survive the evacuation process itself. So I don't envy public officials at all when it comes to making that call, and I don't think there's anything that can be done about it. It's just the way it is. As it relates to the coronavirus, we all know that nursing homes have, it would appear to be been to have been disproportionately hit. I don't know if that's right or not, but we'll find out as we join Dr. Mildred Solomon, president of the Hastings Center. Good morning, Doc.
Good morning. Thanks for having me, Tommy.
Thank you so much for coming on. Would it be accurate to say, I don't know if you would use the phrase ground zero as it relates to nursing homes are particularly hard hit, and do the stats back that up?
Yes, they are particularly hard hit. It's not an accident that the first cluster that was identified in the United States was in the nursing home in the Seattle area. It's because the virus travels much more easily when there's congregate residential centers where people are, you know, living, eating, socializing, and sleeping in tight quarters in the same place, and where they're being served and helped by the same caregivers and staff. You know, one staff person might bring medicine to everybody, and if they're ill, particularly if they've been asymptomatic, they can spread this. Also, the residents of nursing homes are usually frailer and sicker than the general population. And so when they are exposed to the virus, they're going to have much more serious cases.
Having had parents in two different nursing homes, I can't imagine when I see, and look, I think people who work at nursing homes are the most underappreciated people in the world because they don't make a lot of money. It is not an easy job. And a lot of family members, unless everything is absolutely perfect when they go in, are not happy. And you can see where there are a lot of disconnects there. The biggest one I see, doctor, is when I look at the procedures, the preventative measures that are taken in hospitals with protective gear. I cannot imagine that happening in any nursing home that I have seen. And is that why it spread so quickly, so fast, perhaps?
Well, you know, back in 2017, we knew that 61% of the nursing homes who'd been visited had infection control problems. So and my heart goes out to all these facilities and to nursing home workers. I think they're heroic. I agree with you 100%. But we've known that we have infection control problems for quite a long time, and we're going to have to find ways to help nursing homes better deal with it. As far as, you know, you mentioned personal protective equipment. We're hearing a lot about that, right? I mean, for hospitals as well as nursing homes. And that is a huge national problem. On March 21st, the Hastings Center submitted a petition to Congress and the White House It was signed by 1,400 of the most accomplished bioethicists around the country, urging both bodies, the Congress and the White House, to use the Defense Production Act more robustly to really treat this like a war effort and do everything that this law does exist. The Defense Production Act allows the administration to do all kinds of things it wouldn't ordinarily have the powers to do, to mandate manufacture and distribution of personal protective equipment and ventilators. And we're beginning to see some movement, but there's so much more that we could do. Both the front workers at nursing homes and the front workers in our hospitals deserve this equipment, and they're starting to fall sick. We're putting them in harm's way because we haven't equipped them.
Well, let's take a break here. I think it is a simple doctrine. Correct me if I'm wrong. If it's that people don't live in hospitals, right? They're contained and they're in a room and then they're discharged, as opposed to a nursing home, which in a lot of ways, I guess, when it comes to skilled care, is like a hospital. However, it is also a nursing home where people live.
Yes, that's right. And also hospitals are designed to have, you know, different kinds of air pressure and ventilation systems that nursing homes are not equipped. So both technologically they're different, and as you very well point out, they're different. One is meant to be your home, exactly as you said.
I will take a break, pick it up here when we come back. Dr. Mildred Solomon is our guest, president of the Hastings Center. Right now, 8:20, we look at traffic on WWL. 8:24, Tommy Tucker, WWL, broadcasting from my home in Belle Chasse, and Newell will be broadcasting from his home in Metairie, and Scoot, I believe, is in the French Quarter, and then Christian and Bobby from wherever they find themselves to be as we try to social distance, follow the CDC guidelines, work from home because we can, and get this thing behind us as quickly as possible. Dr. Mildred Solomon is our guest, president of the Hastings Center, talking about nursing homes and COVID-19. Doctor, among the many disconnects that I have found so far with this whole thing is that you would... here's the thing. Let me start here, and you can correct me if I'm wrong. 80% of the people are heal or recover from coronavirus COVID-19. So we're quarantining to protect the 20% that are particularly vulnerable to this, and the economy stopped and so forth, and it's not just here, it's around the world. Now, within that 20% that are vulnerable, I got to believe a large percentage of those people are in a nursing home or are particularly susceptible to the coronavirus. And if that's the case, you would think the government would focus everything they have on protecting nursing home patients. Is that happening?
Well, CMS, the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services, on April 2nd came out with very clear guidelines for nursing homes. They're encouraging the nursing homes to, first of all, to do testing. And we don't, the sad thing is that our country wasn't prepared to, and we don't have enough testing, enough tests. But CMS is now encouraging the availability of testing for nursing homes. Medicare is saying that it will cover the costs of all tests. And the point of this is to separate those who test positive from those who don't, literally encouraging nursing homes to put people who test positive in a different building with different dedicated staff, not allow the staff to work in both parts of the facility. So we're beginning to do that, but we're still lumbered by the fact that there aren't enough tests. I also wanted to address your question about most of the vulnerable are the elderly who are going to be in, and people who are in congregate housing like nursing homes. Mm-hmm. They certainly are very vulnerable. But unfortunately, we're starting to see people dying in younger age groups. And if you add up the number of deaths that are occurring between 20 and 50, they're a very significant number. So we don't really understand this virus yet. And the chances for recovery are greater, but still, across that age group, an awful lot of people are passing away.
And I mean, I didn't mean it negatively at all. It just seems as though when it comes to coronavirus, the nature of a nursing home, the nature of the ages of people that are there, and I'm not saying they're not any less worthy of protection than anybody at all. And I certainly didn't mean to imply that.
No, no.
But it seems to me that is the dry timber for the if that makes sense, for the coronavirus fire, forest fire. Does that make sense?
I think that's true. It's certainly starting that way. But I do believe it is now out, so that, you know, this is no longer a brush fire, to continue your metaphor. Mm-hmm. It's a blaze. It's in the general community now. It's not like it can be contained in nursing homes. It's out. And I think the most important thing we can all do is physically distance ourselves. The World Health Organization asked us to start calling social distancing physical distancing, because we're actually finding some nice ways to be able to stay connected socially, certainly those of us who have the luxury of the internet. I know that's not true. In fact, there's a large percentage of people in New Orleans who don't have the internet, and I worry about them understanding what is being requested of all of us, and also just the social isolation that people without the internet will feel. But I think it's up to all of us now. Just taking care of nursing homes in a better way, absolutely a moral imperative, as you say, but it's not going to be enough. It's out into the community.
My ex-wife does a lot of volunteer work with a nursing home, and she's an angel of a woman. But a lot of that's changed because of the regulations. So if somebody has a relative in a nursing home, what's the best advice you can give them?
Well, they're not being allowed to visit, so if there are ways to stay in touch with their loved one through the phone or the internet, that's going to be important. We're concerned about the isolation and mental health of the residents who are now cut off from their loved ones. I don't think evacuation is a feasible alternative. It also might be dangerous, because there are many, we don't have these COVID tests. So we wouldn't know whether people were infected or not, and they could bring it outside the nursing home to their loved ones. And a very necessary but a very sad thing to talk about is holding conversations with people now about what they would want if their illness becomes very severe. People can visit Vital Talk, VITAL, and also the Conversation Project, to get guidance on how to hold these conversations. But very, very sick people with frail, you know, with terminal illnesses in the nursing homes may not want to be transferred to the hospital if they get into trouble, because they have underlying terminal conditions.
Doctor, we're out of time. I appreciate your time so much, and I hope you come back. Dr. Mildred Solomon, president of the Hastings Center, talking about nursing homes. Time's now for WWL First News with Dave Cohen.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.